Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, getting as we have to the very heart of John's second epistle, we find that the burden that he carries is for the danger that can be brought into the lives of God's children by false teachers. Deceivers, he calls them in verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And so there are false teachers who are very clever. They are deceptive. They make a lot of people think that they are wonderful preachers of God's Word, when in fact they are emissaries of Satan. They are his ministers doing his bidding, who target Christians and Christian churches and institutions for the very purpose of undermining them and dragging them away from their faith in the Word of God and in the person and work of Christ. And so John tells us that we better be aware of these, or we could be damaged. He says in verse 8, look to yourselves, that we lose not the things we have worked for, rather, but that we receive a full reward. You better watch out, or some of the things that you have worked hard for in your Christian service are going to be destroyed by these deceivers. And you better watch out, or some of the rewards that you have earned and laid up in heaven because of your faithful Christian service are going to be lost. So you better understand the danger of these teachers and how it is that you are to relate to them. And following that, in verse 9, he identifies apostates and identifies true believers so that we can tell them apart in simple terms. And that's where we're going on this Tuesday, May 21. We're glad you have been able to join us. We're thankful for those whose financial gifts keep us teaching. All right, first of all, in regard to identifying apostates, here's how he identifies them. And you may remember from yesterday's broadcast that the word apostate, which is not found in this text, but it's a good word to describe it, the word apostate simply means a departer, somebody who departs from the Christian faith. Sometimes we have a word for the true Christian faith, and that word is orthodoxy. And those who depart from orthodox Christian doctrine are apostates. They once believed it or said they did. Whether they ever really did or not is another matter, but there was a time when they claimed to, and now they have departed from it. They are apostates. And here's what John tells us so that we can identify them. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. That's a short description of apostates. And then he goes on in the last part of verse 9 to say, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Another cryptic statement, but full of helpful information. So going back to the first one again, whoever transgresses, I showed you on the broadcast yesterday that that means goes over the line, goes too far, whoever innovates beyond the limits of the Christian faith, whoever goes beyond teaching the things that Christ taught to the multitudes and to the disciples, and Christ gave to his apostles to be passed on to the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first century. Whoever is not bound, not constrained, not restrained by these boundaries, that one is a false teacher. And that's how you tell. It's a doctrinal test. You have to continually test things by the Bible. The Bible is the objective standard by which everything else is measured. I know people who call themselves Christians who test everything by their own thoughts and ideas and emotions and experiences. And they actually evaluate and judge the Bible according to that standard. And if the Bible doesn't measure up in certain statements to the standard of their own thoughts of what they think ought to be true and right, then they judge the Bible to be defective at that point. Well, guess what? That's identifying you as an apostate. You have departed from the faith. If you are not committed to receiving all of what Christ has given to us in the book we call the Bible, then you are the one that John is talking about in verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not remain in the doctrine, that is, the teachings that come from Christ and that tell us about Christ. But that next statement, still dealing with the first identifying position, namely identifying apostates, but the third thing that's said beyond them is even more striking. There are really three things that John says about these people. Number one, they are those who transgress the doctrine of Christ. They go beyond. Number two, they are those who refuse to be constrained by Scripture. They do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, which in some ways is like saying the same thing as the first phrase in a different way. But it's a helpful perspective. But now we read this short phrase, but it is a bombshell. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Well, what does that mean? That means they're not saved. Does not have God. To deny the Son is to forfeit the Father. Anyone who adds to or subtracts from the doctrine of Christ that has been revealed, that has been deposited with the saints of God, and is the full revelation of God for all people of all ages, and it has limits and boundaries, and whoever does not abide in that doctrine does not have God, because no one is justified before the judgment bar of God who refuses to accept what the Scripture teaches about Christ. It's clear there are some things in Scripture that are not crystal clear and about which true born-again believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ may have differing opinions. The doctrine of baptism usually springs to mind when I'm talking about such things, but there are others as well. Doctrines relating to what we sometimes call eschatology, the doctrine of last things, and how everything's going to unfold in the end, and what comes first, and what comes second, and what comes third, and are you a premillennialist or an amillennialist, and so forth and so on. It should be clear by anyone who has studied these issues that there are godly, born-again, Bible-believing, fervent servants of the Lord Jesus Christ who love Christ with all their hearts and who are emphatic about the doctrine of Christ, who have different opinions about some of these things. But listen, when it comes to the doctrine of Christ, there's no room for interpretation. There's no room for differing opinions, differing and competing doctrines. You either accept what has been given or you don't have God. Again, to deny the Son is to forfeit the Father. I'm talking to someone who says, well, I believe in God. I believe in the God of the Bible. But I'm not so sure about some of the things that the Christian church teaches about Jesus Christ. So I'm holding those things in abeyance, and I'm still thinking about them, but I'm not certain. I'm not ready to say that I believe that Jesus was virgin born and lived a sinless life and died a substitutionary death upon the cross and rose bodily from the grave and is ascended back to heaven and is coming back to earth someday. I don't know that I can accept all of that, but I believe in God. Listen to this statement. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Whatever God you believe in, it's not the God of the Bible. And if you don't have the God of the Bible, then you don't have the true God. If you don't have the God of the Bible, you don't have the salvation which He has secured through the giving of His Son. And so in identifying apostates, what we learn is whoever goes beyond biblical revelation about Christ, whoever refuses to be constrained by the scripture that teaches us about Christ, is not saved. He does not have God, and therefore ought not to be called a Christian. If you're not willing to accept what the Bible says about Christ, why do you call yourself a Christian? That's a legitimate question. Why would you call yourself a Christian? And yet, in my experience, I have realized that many people, most people in this category, are usually unwilling to relinquish the claim to be a Christian. They want that label. They want that name. They just want you to accept that they are a Christian of a different order, a different kind. They are a progressive Christian. They are an innovative Christian. They are a Christian who doesn't feel bound by the Bible, by the boundaries of Orthodox Christian doctrine. But listen, whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. That one is no Christian. They have no legitimate right to the label Christian. They have no right to consider themselves Christians or expect others to consider them Christians. And as such, they must not be encouraged by true believers to think that they could be Christians. Just the opposite. Faithful, true believers in Jesus Christ who love the Lord and love others and love the souls of men have got to be honest and forthright with such people to dislodge them of their mistaken notion that they can reject the doctrine of Christ and still be a Christian. Just to say that term sounds crazy. How can anyone reject the doctrine of Christ and still claim to be a Christian? But many do. I may be talking to some right now. But this is pretty serious. If anybody does not remain within the boundaries of Christian truth, does not have God, does not have salvation, and has no claim to the name Christian. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.